You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iredwin. I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. Come to the site now. We're getting you ready for the draft. It's free agency time done here in April. The draft is at the end of this month. First round there on Thursday, April 28th. Then we'll go through the weekend, all seven rounds there. So the end of the month, it's going to be here sooner rather than later, the NFL draft. And here what we're going to do is wrap up our look at where the quarterback depth charts stand here after NFL free agency. That means who's starting where in the NFC. There, we already did the AFC. If you need to check out that show, we did that on the end of last week on Friday. So here we'll focus on the NFC. We'll wrap up this series, then we'll focus on my mock draft. We'll break it down for you. I went a good seven rounds on sportingnews.com. Check it out. But what we're going to do is break it down for you. I'm going to go three rounds deep here on Locked On Fantasy Football. So the next series of shows, I'm going to talk about what I looked at in the mock draft, what these teams are thinking on the clock through all three rounds. So we'll break each round down for you in half so we can really dissect what the picks could be like here for these teams and what they're thinking about on the clock, including at quarterback, if some of these NFC teams need to make a decision there. So, thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. We're free and available for you on all platforms. Today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, what we do here when we break down a conference and all 16 teams, we go in alphabetical order. So we'll go from the Arizona Cardinals to the Washington Commanders before the show's all said and done. We'll tackle five teams in our first segment here, starting with the Cardinals in the NFC West. There's a lot of talk about Kyler Murray. Would he want out of Arizona? There's still some rumors that he's not happy there, but it quieted down pretty quickly here, I would have to say, and he's locked into being the starter right now. It's a good situation for him in this offense by Cliff Kingsbury. I think Murray could take another step here with his passing and running and become a more complete quarterback. Part of the things he's dealing with is another transition in the receiving core. They dealt with an older group last year. You had A.J. Green and Christian Kirk. Both of those guys are gone. So Cardinals adjusting there to DeAndre Hopkins, Rondale Moore, that receiving core, which now features Zach Ertz and Max Williams. So they really invested in tight end. They re-signed both of those guys. So Kyler Murray looks right there in the QB1 conversation. He needs to run, though. We need that running floor for Kyler Murray because the passing game isn't so high with the Cardinals, given they're a very strong running team with their offensive line. Now they're two tight ends back and James Conner returning as the feature back. So Murray needs that running floor a little bit more. That's what we want to see here in 2022. You have Colt McCoy behind him still. He was a pretty good fill-in last year, helped them win a game, notably against bigger teams last season. And you also have Trace McSorley. He's notable because he was the Ravens' backup to Lamar Jackson, a developmental guy there before they moved on. So a couple of mechs behind Murray here. So very M company here, 3M company, so you would say, in Arizona as your quarterbacks under KK Cliff Kingsbury. All right, let's move to Atlanta. This one is very weird to look at here. When you look at the depth chart, there's only two quarterbacks on this depth chart at the moment. You have Marcus Mariota signed from the Raiders. He was the backup to Derek Carr here after the Tennessee stint kind of faded. They went in the direction of Ryan Tannehill there for the Titans. So Marcus Mariota, I didn't expect this to be his rebound starting shot, but here it is. The Falcons were pretty quick on it. Why that is the case is Arthur Smith, their offensive-minded head coach, worked with the Titans staff when Mariota was there. So some familiarity with the potential system that Arthur Smith's going to run here with Mariota, has some mobility. So good rebound chance for Mariota. I have been disappointed throughout his career that he hasn't run enough to really pad his stats here. But he can be efficient in the red zone. The big question in Atlanta is the weapons here. I mean, you have Olamide Zaccheaus and Frank Darby. Kyle Pitts is your best receiver at tight end by far. He can dominate targets here. But wide receiver, very thin here with Calvin Ridley suspended. Russell Gage not re-signed here. So Falcons have got to find something there. But Mariota right now, buried, is a big QB2. Their backup right now is Felipe Franks. You might remember Florida, Arkansas played on a couple teams there in the SEC. So looking for a little bit more mobility and athleticism from that position for sure for Arthur Smith as they pivot from Matt Ryan, which is the biggest shocker, I think, so far of the offseason. Because, again, the way it happened, we just thought Matt Ryan was status quo. Here the contract was too big to move. But lo and behold, he ends up with Indianapolis instead of a Baker Mayfield or Jimmy Garoppolo in that situation. All right, we go to the Panthers, another uninspiring choice here still. There's more rumors that they could attack quarterback now in the draft. They said they're sticking with Sam Darnold as their number one, but we'll have to see. P.J. Walker, we know the Temple connection with Matt Rhule. He's still there on the bench here. No Teddy Bridgewater, we know he signed with the Dolphins here and Broncos, so he's long gone here, so not coming back to this situation. There was rumors of that with the Panthers, but so P.J. Walker and no Cam Newton. So really looking at Sam Darnold right now holding the starting job. And again, not a choice that we're going to go in on. He had a bit of a spike in anomaly in production there with his rushing touchdowns early. They were very Newton-like, but then the real Darnold showed up and the shoulder injury popped up. So I'd say Mariota even has a little bit more appeal than Darnold. Darnold has better weapons here, but really both are well off the QB1 radar and really deep into the QB2s here in 2022. Now, Justin Fields is going to get more buzz as a QB1. The situation has slightly changed behind him. It's no longer Andy Dalton as your top backup. It is Trevor Siemian, so he moves on from the Saints. A Northwestern product comes back near Chicago. You also have Nick Foles still in the mix. He's still very expensive here to put in this lineup. And they have a kid named Willis from Virginia Tech that they're looking at as well as developmental. But this is Justin Fields' team. He's been in the news lately expressing his disappointment with the way the Bears handled their offense last year. So I think he's going to really like what they do here in the Packers-style offense that they've adopted here with their new coach. So really interesting to see Matt Eberflus and the Colts connection and having a Frank Reich influence on one side of the ball and what the Packers' offensive stylings do here for Justin Fields. But he's excited. Changes that he's felt very uninspired by the Matt Nagy game plans for skill set. So I think this new coaching staff is definitely going to take advantage of Fields' running ability here. That's going to be big here in 2022 for his production. So he's very much in the QB1 backdoor conversation. We know Mariota and Darnold are not. So watch out Fields versus Murray. That might be an interesting debate that develops here in the back end of kind of streaming options, platoon, kind of, if you're going that route. Because one of these guys could really emerge as a top QB1. But you like to stash it, give yourself some chances there to have that big-time production. Now, Dak Prescott is firmly in the QB1 conversation here no matter what. He got his main guy, Michael Gallup, to be the deep threat outside. Back, they moved on from Amari Cooper, but they have CeeDee Lamb. They traded Cooper to the Browns, so we know that. But brought back Dalton Schultz at tight end, which is pretty key here. And having the potential for some 12 personnel, but those three receivers being his top, Lamb, Gallup, and Schultz, is plenty for Prescott, plus his legs here and work to the backs in the passing game and other receivers they have, which now remixed without Cedric Wilson and Amari Cooper. Now behind him, Cooper Rush, Will Greer, Ben DiNucci. We've seen these guys being cycled through before, so you have Andy Dalton long gone from this situation as well for the Cowboys there this season. So very interesting combination. They don't really want to upgrade there. I think they want to see what they have in these guys, and they hope that Dak Prescott, who was rather durable before that ankle injury, stays that way here going forward in 2022 and beyond with his big contract. All right, we will get into six more depth charts, then five more, so we'll get to all of them here. So 11 more to go here in terms of talking about NFC quarterback situations here. So I really like Athletic Greens. If you've not been on AG1, it's their signature product here. It's something that's going to make you feel great every day. I took it because I wanted to be a little healthier. We know with the new year, we're always looking for better things to make us get through the day with more energy and pep, and also just be healthy overall. And really, Athletic Greens is going to take care of you with AG1. It's a really special product, and it's very easy. What is this? AG1 is a delicious scoop of Athletic Greens formula. You're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging, all the things we need as we get older and want to stay healthier. AG1 is very easy to take. You get it on the go if you want. Put it in another to-go container, very handy there, that you can drink it or have it as part of your breakfast there. I like to do that to complement a healthy breakfast with fruit or peanut butter, and it's good to go. I'm good for the day with AG1 only from Athletic Greens. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, or gluten-free. Contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still tasting delicious. It supports better sleep quality and recovery, better mental clarity and alertness. It's the one thing with the best things. Athletic Greens use the best of best products based on the latest science for AG1 with constant product iterations and third-party testing. Athletic Greens with AG1 has more than 7,000 five-star reviews. It's recommended by professional athletes, trusted by leading health experts such as Tim Ferriss and Michael Gervais. So check it out here, AG1, only from Athletic Greens. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Again, that is athleticgreens.com/NFL Network. Take ownership of your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance with AG1. Also, we know betonline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. Find all the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championship odds, Tiger Woods play, who is the favorite otherwise, podcasts, reviews for all the different leagues this season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. Head to the website today, use a mobile device to learn more about the trends in action. BetOnline, where the game starts. So check it out here with BetOnline. It's a great experience, whatever sport you're betting on, as we wait for the NFL. All right, we will continue the show breaking down our NFC quarterback depth charts, how they stand going into the draft, what teams are looking to still upgrade. Thanks for making Locked On Fantasy Football your first listen every day. Make sure you're following Locked On NFL. Locked On experts covering the biggest stories around the NFL in 30 minutes or less. Every Monday through Friday, it's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so we went through Arizona, Atlanta, Carolina, Chicago, Dallas. So we're on Detroit now, and we look at the Lions. Jared Goff is still their starting quarterback. There's talk of them maybe taking a quarterback number 32, whether it's Desmond Ridder or Matt Corral. Someone's on the board there. Ridder of Cincinnati, Corral of Ole Miss. We'll see, but now it's Jared Goff. We also have behind him Tim Boyle, David Blau. So those guys have been around for a while. And Steven Montez, you might remember him from West Coast Pac-12 football, but he's around on the depth chart as a developmental guy. But Jared Goff looks right now like the starter, again, bridging until they can find the quarterback of choice here. But don't sleep on them taking a quarterback at 32 that they can develop here. But Goff looks like at least the guy is the bridge here for 2022. And again, he did well with the weapons down the stretch. They did upgrade here. Amon-Ra St. Brown was fantastic. T.J. Hockenson should be healthy. They also picked up D.J. Chark, who profiles like a number one. So Jared Goff for now still Lions quarterback until they consider those options there in the late first round and maybe in other rounds of this draft. The Lions will have plenty of opportunities to bring along some guy in this draft. Now let's go to the Packers. You have a still Aaron Rodgers, we know that. He worked himself to get the biggest contract there, so we'll see what they do with Jordan Love. They haven't been very motivated to move him, but maybe they'll come up in the draft for some desperate team looking for a bit of a stash here. Maybe the Packers can work it out with the Bucks, where you know Jordan Love is not going to be factored with Tom Brady there this season. So look at the Seattle, potentially, if they're going to trade within the conference. Those would be the two teams there that have the most appeal. They also have Kurt Benkert. And Danny Etling, he was a one-time draft pick of the Patriots. They're all in the depth charts here. But Aaron Rodgers locked and loaded, looking for a third consecutive MVP season and the numbers to match here to please us in fantasy football. All right, let's continue here with the Los Angeles Rams. Matthew Stafford is still a man here. He's still number one. John Wolford is number two, and Bryce Perkins out of Virginia Tech. So Virginia Tech products here floating around in Chicago and Los Angeles in the NFC. But Matthew Stafford locked in. He's a backdoor QB1. A little bit different with the receiving core. No Odell Beckham Jr., no Robert Woods, but he's got Allen Robinson with Cooper Kupp. So that has been filled the void here, and tight end is still a special position here for the Rams with the younger depth behind Tyler Higbee. So plenty of options here for Matthew Stafford to stay in the QB1 conversation, even with his interceptions. Kirk Cousins can be a QB1 at times. He's a little bit hit or miss, but the weapons are still there with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen. They should upgrade a little bit more behind KJ Osborne. Irv Smith Jr. should also come back to help them at tight end. So Kirk Cousins got the extension. He's clearly the number one. You have Kellen Mond, Sean Mannion, and Nate Stanley, an Iowa product there being developed here. So Kirk Cousins locked in, backdoor QB1, a guy that you can look at in streaming options. The Saints are sticking with Jameis Winston. Now, the big difference here is that it's no longer Taysom Hill as the number two quarterback. He's moved on to the number two tight end behind Adam Trautman. You have Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton. Remember, we talked about him leaving the Cowboys and Bears in consecutive season. He's now the number two. You also have Blake Bortles was hanging around for a while, but Dalton kind of displaced him. You have Ian Book now as your third, their development guy that got a start there. It was pretty disastrous against Miami on Monday Night Football last year. So Winston figures to be the starter right now. They could be in the market to draft the quarterback as well. Dalton is your contingency if Winston is not quite ready here from the knee injury. And Ian Book, just a developmental guy who should be displaced here should the Saints look at another one in the draft here in 2022. Last team we'll talk about in this segment is the New York Giants. Daniel Jones still holding strong as the starter here under Brian Daboll. But they did hire Tyrod Taylor, signed him as the backup. They also have Brian Lewerke and Davis Webb. Remember him, a draft pick of the Giants here. So Brian Lewerke is a Michigan State guy. Taylor, we know he bounces around as a bridge and a backup guy. So Daniel Jones, so far the offseason looks good, but the Giants do have a couple first-round picks. Would they be tempted if the right player pops up to trade down and get that quarterback? We'll have to see. But in their current positions, I don't think they're going that way and giving Jones one more shot here with his strength, mobility, athleticism here for Brian Daboll. All right, we will continue and look at our last five teams in our final segment here on Locked On Fantasy Football here to break down our NFC QB depth charts. But before we do that, I got to remind you about Built Bar. Again, we talked about staying healthy here, sticking to our resolutions. Well, Built Bar has made it easy for me to stick to my resolution. It started in January, going all the way to the fourth month here in April. Built Bar, it's not even really cheating here because I really enjoy eating Built Bar. They're incorporated in my diet, and I can't have enough of them. Have you tried the puffs? You haven't tried, you're missing out on one of Built Bar's best-tasting bars, protein bar-infused marshmallows. That's what puffs are here. They're fluffy, they're puffy, they're marshmallow. They're just a protein bar. They're a treat, and they're covered in 100% real chocolate, just like all Built Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. That includes the puffs. And you get some great flavors with puffs. Yummy cinnamon cherry, coconut, marshmallow, banana cream pie. So good. These are going to be new favorites here. Low-calorie, high-protein. Replace your candy bars with these. They're better. A typical candy bar can be anywhere from 200 to 300 calories. Go to Built.com and scroll down the macro chart. You'll be blown away. High-protein, low-calorie, high-fiber, low-carb. Most Built bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of sugar only. Compare that to a candy bar that has 30 grams of sugar. Then you have 4 net carbs, dozens of net carbs that are going to be a candy bar. And then 130 calories, I mean, almost half as much as candy bar, and 17 grams of protein. You're certainly not going to get that in a candy bar here. So some of the great flavors, mint brownie, coconut almond, and new. There's always new flavors here. Check it out. Delicious flavors are always coming out there only at Built.com. At Built Bar, they're all about the taste. They make it taste delicious first, and they figure out how to make it healthy. And I don't know how they do it, but they pull it off every time. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCK15, and get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, it's time to get into our last segment here on Locked On Fantasy Football to kick off another week on a Monday. We'll talk about five more teams here to break down for you. Well, we'll go through these pretty quickly here for you. The Philadelphia Eagles on their NFC depth chart at quarterback. Jalen Hurts is still the starter, but there's some rumors there. They have 3 first-round picks first, and they're all in that middle wheelhouse of that round to go after if Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett or Desmond Ridder. So they're sitting out there I know Howie Roseman's been overly praising Jalen Hurts, but that's sometimes an indication that they're trying to cover up something, and we've seen that with the Panthers. They've been going out of the way to say that Sam Darnold's the starter here. So Gardner Minshew is still the number two. Remember, there have been some callings for him. Hurts has been good, but he's just inaccurate. His arm's off. He's a very good runner. He gives them a high floor, but the ceiling is very limited with Jalen Hurts, as we've seen, until he can improve and do more. So Reed Stinnett is your third quarterback. So this opens the door for sure for the Eagles to chase one of those first-round quarterbacks. So stay tuned. It can be very exciting, and we know how Philadelphia fans are. It should be fun to see, but they're definitely in the market, folks, for a quarterback that could change the things, because Hurts finished as a QB1 last year, so that's something to keep an eye on for sure. Jimmy Garoppolo is still on top of the 49ers depth chart. He got the shoulder issue, moving him slow. We'll see. As long as he's there, we can't totally bank on Trey Lance having a breakout season here, so we'll see how it plays out. But the homes quickly got filled here, and Seattle's not a home for Jimmy Garoppolo because it's in the same division. So the 49ers are not going to trade with the Seahawks. The Colts went with Matt Ryan instead, so Garoppolo Lance, we'll have to see that situation develop, but they're definitely not going to be drafting a quarterback here. The Seahawks should be in the market for a quarterback here with Drew Lock and Jacob Eason. So they have a Colts leftover and a Broncos leftover. These are guys that were taken not in the first round by their team. So Seahawks could look that way. There's rumors that they might sell DK Metcalf and try to stack their first-round picks. In that case, they would definitely have the ammunition now. They already have the 9th overall pick. They could look at Malik Willis or Kenny Pickett there. So Seahawks are hard to read here this offseason. Are they interested in just rebooting here with Russell Wilson gone? They want to just rebuild and clear the roster. That's what we have to see here in 2022 here. So the Seahawks could do a number of things, but I doubt they'll go into the season with Drew Lock as their starter. We know the Buccaneers are going to go Tom Brady as their starter. What we're going to look at is a backup. Kyle Trask here is your number two in Tampa. There's no Blaine Gabbert. They didn't re-sign him. The potential they could bring him back here. I thought Baker Mayfield might be a good target. I thought Jimmy Garoppolo might be a good target if they can get a good, reasonable deal here to stash as Tom Brady's successor in Tampa in the Todd Bowles era there. So no Bruce Arians, but Byron Leftwich still in town. Very appealing situation. So the Bucs should be in a market for a quarterback. They did use a second-round pick on Trask, but I'm looking more at the veterans than potential rookie and high picks here for the Buccaneers. But keep an eye on Carson Strong out of Nevada. He would fit this scheme very well there in the second round. And finally, let's go to the Washington Commanders. And the Commanders traded for Carson Wentz here. So they have a new quarterback. They have a new nickname. He's going to be the starter over Taylor Heineke. They invested too much to get Carson Wentz. So they got to upgrade the weapons. We know Wentz wasn't too bad. He was usable at times as a QB1 with Indianapolis from our perspective in fantasy. In reality, we know he let down the Indianapolis Colts quite a bit. They didn't make the playoffs in the end, but he put up some numbers. He was rather efficient. We know Washington needs to upgrade, I think, that weapon opposite Terry McLaurin here, but you have Antonio Gibson, Logan Thomas, some weapons there for sure. J.D. McKissick decided to come back in the fold after initially signing with the Bills. So there are some weapons for Wentz. The offensive line lost Brandon Scherf, but they rebounded a little bit with Andrew Norwell. So they have some opportunities here for the Commanders. They got to upgrade a little bit. But left tackle is actually pretty good with Charles Leno Jr. So they can upgrade a little bit, and Carson Wentz can be very effective here. So let's watch out for him having a rebound, especially if they can get a bona fide elite receiver in the draft. And the Commanders are certainly that wheelhouse for that Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Jameson Williams trio there in the 2022 draft. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of the NFC quarterback depth charts here on Locked On Fantasy Football. That wraps up our look at the depth chart updates. Things have happened as we've been going through these, but again, that takes you where we're going into the draft, and that's a good transition. We'll talk all about my mock draft. I did 7 rounds, and we're going to break down 3 rounds for you in detail. We'll break them up in half here. So that'll be our next 6 shows, barring a big move, such as DK Metcalf being on the move, as we've said that, and we've had a chime in quite a few times. So we're always going to be here with our advanced scouting here on Locked On Fantasy Football for you all offseason long. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Mini Iyer. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow as we start breaking down my mock draft of what teams will be thinking when they're on the clock in the first round on April 28th.